Fogg's favorite casino was the Rio, on the boardwalk with several others. They agreed to meet for lunch in a second-floor cafeteria, then quickly lost each other. Each wanted to keep his gambling private. Ray wandered among the slots and scoped out the tables. It was Saturday, and the Rio was busy. He circled around and eased up on the poker tables. Fogg was in a crowd around a table, lost in his cards, with a stack of chips under his hands. Ray had $5,000 in his pocket. 50 of the $100 bills picked at random from the stash he had hauled back from Clanton. His only goal that day was to drop the money in the casinos along the boardwalk and make certain it was not counterfeit, not marked, not traceable in any way. After his visit to Tunica last Monday night, he was fairly certain the money was for real. Now he almost hoped it was marked. If so, then maybe the FBI would track him down and tell him where the money came from. He had done nothing wrong. The guilty party was dead. Bring on the feds. He found an empty chair at a blackjack table and laid 5 bills down for chips. Greens, he said, like a veteran gambler. Changing 500, the dealer said, barely looking up.
Change it,
came the reply from a pit boss. The tables were busy. Slots were ringing in the background. A crap game was hot off in the distance. Men were yelling at the dice. The dealer picked up the bills as Ray froze for a second. The other players watched with detached admiration. All were playing $5 and $10 chips. Amateurs. The dealer stuffed the judge's bills, all perfectly valid, into the money box and counted 20 $25 green chips for Ray, who lost half of them in the first 15 minutes and left to find some ice cream. Down 250 and not the least bit worried about it. He ventured near the crap tables and watched the confusion. He could not imagine his father mastering such a complicated game. Where did one learn to shoot dice in Ford County, Mississippi? According to a thin little gambling guide he'd picked up in a bookstore, a basic wager is a come bet, and when he mustered the courage, he wedged his way between 2 other gamblers and placed the remaining 10 chips on the pass line. The dice rolled 12, the money was scraped away by the dealer, and Ray left the Rio to visit the princess next door. Inside, the casinos were all the same, old folks staring hopelessly at the slots, just enough coins rattling in the trays to keep them hooked. Blackjack tables crowded with subdued players slugging free beer and whiskey. Serious gamblers packed around the crap tables hollering at the dice. A few Asians playing roulette. Cocktail waitresses in silly costumes showing skin and hauling drinks. He picked out a blackjack table and repeated the procedure. His next 5 bills passed the dealer's inspection. Ray bet $100 on the first hand, but instead of quickly losing his money, he began winning. He had too much untested cash in his pocket to waste time accumulating chips, so when he doubled his money, he pulled out 10 more bills and asked for $100 chips. The dealer informed the pit boss, who offered a gapped smile and said, "Good luck." An hour later, he left the table with 22 chips. Next on his tour was the Forum, an older-looking establishment with an odor of stale cigarette smoke partially masked by cheap disinfectant. The crowd was older, too, because, as he soon realized, the Forum's specialty was quarter slots, and those over 65 got a free breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Take your pick. The cocktail waitresses were on the downhill side of 40 and had given up the notion of showing flesh. They hustled about in what appeared to be track suits with matching sneakers. The limit at blackjack was $10 a hand. The dealer hesitated when he saw Ray's cash hit the table, and he held the first bill up to the light as if he'd finally caught a counterfeiter. The pit boss inspected it, too, and Ray was rehearsing his lines about procuring that particular bill down the street at the Rio. "Cash it," said the pit boss, and the moment passed. He lost $300 in an hour.